It's really good to be here with you guys tonight. I'm pretty pumped right now. Jesus. I'm pretty happy. You know why? Because I know God. And He is who He says He is. And He will do what He said He will do. So it makes me a pretty happy man. It's as simple as that. It really is. Well, there is some things on my heart to share with you guys tonight. Jace has asked if I would speak about faith. And I'd love to do that. So I'm going to, just this first session, I'm going to teach a little bit. We're going to look at some scripture. We're going to get into the Greek and the Hebrew words. And we're going to sort of spend a little bit of time looking at the Word of God, at the written Word. And then in the second session, it's going to be a little bit different. I'm going to mix it up a little bit. I'm going to preach some things out. I'm going to share some testimonies from my own life. And then we're just going to have a time of prayer and activation, impartation. Is that all right? Cool. Awesome. Well, I want to get started. Man, I'm in love with Jesus. I'm pretty happy right now. Well, look, I want to speak to you guys tonight about faith. And what we're going to do is this, is normally I like to just get up in the Holy Spirit and just, I don't have a plan. Normally those who know me know that when I preach, I normally have no idea what I'm going to preach about. Sometimes it's like as I'm during the worship or when someone gives me the mic or whatever it is, I'll just get up and whatever I feel the Holy Spirit's saying in that moment, I'll just speak that out. So for me, sometimes to do teaching, I really go like, pull things back a little bit. And so I really want to, it's important because see, when no one's looking, I'm reading this and I'm in this place and I'm seeking Him and I'm allowing Him to build things into me and to teach me things so that when I'm in the open place, it just comes out. So in terms of like teaching and going deep in the Word of God, you know, like I love doing that. I do that in my time with the Lord. That's my time with Jesus, is going deep with Him and allowing Him to reveal truth to me. And so we're going to do a little bit of that tonight, but I'm a little bit excited. So I'll try not to preach, try not to get ahead of myself. But what I do want to do is I want to start with this statement and we're going to kind of finish. We're going to do a bit of a circle, right? I'm going to start with a statement and then we're going to end with this statement. And it's this, it's pretty simple. Faith looks like something. Okay? You might have heard people talk about, Heidi Baker talks about love looks like something. Well, faith looks like something. So just think about that for a minute. And then we're going to talk a little bit about what faith is. What is faith? What is faith? What does the Bible say about faith? What does Jesus say about faith? And so I want to start just by touching on a couple of the words in the Bible. Obviously, the Bible wasn't written in English. It was written in Hebrew, in Greek, and there's some Aramaic words in there as well. But in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, there's a number of different words that were translated into faith. Okay, I'm just going to read a whole bunch of them at the moment, and then we're going to talk about the definitions, okay? So some of the words... Look, I never studied Hebrew. I could be speaking like Japanese as far as I know in my pronunciation, so bear with me if you're a Hebrew scholar. But here's a few words. Aman, bata, mibta, hasha, mashe, yalal. It goes on. There's another few words as well. I won't even pronounce this one too well, but it's rachats. I know that's going to be wrong. And emuna. Okay, there's a few Hebrew words there. So all these words are translated at different times into faith or something that's akin to faith. So there's a number of different words. But the definitions are pretty similar, pretty consistent, and these are some of those definitions. To believe, pretty simple. To be certain, to trust, to be firm, having a secure place, faithfulness, to rely upon, confidence, to feel safe, to seek refuge, and also refuge and shelter. So they're just some of the words there that describe faith and a faith relationship with God. Some very great descriptive words. Now, in the Greek, there's really only one primary word that's used, and it's the word pistis. So pistis means to believe, to trust. There's obviously a lap, you know, overlap here in some of these words. To trust, to have confidence. It can also be translated as faithfulness, and to be persuaded, to be fully convinced. So when we look at faith, obviously, you know, faith is a pretty important topic. When we look at faith, we have to look at the importance of faith. Like how important is faith to the Christian life? Anyone? It's pretty vital, isn't it? Really, it's pretty vital. Like here's a couple of scriptures here that I'm going to read. I want to give you the references here. So I've written out all the references. But I just want to start here with Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. So if you have your Bible, I'll just give you a minute to turn there and I'm going to read it out. And there's another reference here that goes with that. And it is Genesis chapter 5, verse 24. You guys got that? Okay, so Hebrews chapter 11, starting in verse 5, it says this. It says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. That's a pretty good testimony right there. And then it says this, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now, I have a whole lot of scriptures for reference tonight, but we could just kind of camp there, I think, for a while. It's pretty amazing because in Genesis chapter 5, verse 24, it says this about Enoch. It says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. So when we read about the faith of Enoch pleasing God, we have to understand the kind of life that Enoch lived. Amen. And the Word of God teaches us that Enoch walked with God. Vitally important. Here's another verse about faith, the importance of faith. Luke chapter 18, verse 8. So this is at the end of verse 8 there. And it says this, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? So this is Jesus speaking. Jesus is saying, when I return, am I really going to find faith on the earth? That's a pretty sobering remark there from the Lord. So it sounds pretty important. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. Am I going too fast? Okay, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. It says, now the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. I know these are verses you've probably read a whole bunch before, but we're going to touch on them tonight, and we're going to look at some commonalities here. But it says, the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That's what the Lord says. Now, what's important to note about faith is this. There are many times when Jesus talks about faith, and we're going to look at some of those verses in a minute. And sometimes this is what I find that we do sometimes as believers, is we like to compartmentalize God. We like to compartmentalize the Christian life. And we'll kind of like, it's like at a buffet, you know, we go to a buffet and it's like, well, you know, I have the prawns, but, you know, I don't really like oysters, so I'll skip them. And the interesting thing is that sometimes we compartmentalize God and the Christian life in that kind of capacity, if that makes sense. And one of those ways that I see time and time again has to do with faith. The way that we understand faith, the way that we talk about faith, the way that we live faith. You know, sometimes I've heard people say things like, hey, you know, I have faith to see a headache healed, but I don't know about praying for someone in a wheelchair. Has anyone said that or heard people talk like that? Jesus, sometimes when he rebuked his disciples, he would say things like, oh, you have little faith. Oh, you have little faith. And it's really important to study that out there, and we're going to have a look at that in a minute. But he says, he rebukes them and says, oh, you have little faith. But then he says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you'll do what? You'll move a mountain. So it almost sounds a little bit contradictory there, doesn't it? He's saying, hang on a minute, you guys, your faith is tiny. But don't forget, if you have faith the size of a tiny mustard seed, you can move a mountain. Sounds contrary, but it's not when you study it out. Look, it says here in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20 to 21. So Jesus said to them, that this is the disciples, they try to cast the demon out of the boy who had epilepsy, if you remember, and they couldn't do it. And they came to him and said, Lord, why couldn't we do it? And he said to them, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. And nothing will be impossible for you. Now, the New King James has a next verse here, which isn't in the NIV. It says this, however, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So we're not going to go into that in too much detail at the moment, but what I want to focus on is this, is Jesus said, they said, Lord, why couldn't we do it? He said, because of your unbelief. And he said to them, if you have faith as a mustard seed. Now, what I want to kind of put out there and have a look at in terms of faith is this, is that, has anyone seen a mustard seed, by the way? They're pretty tiny, hey? They're pretty tiny. What I want us to look at is this, is that sometimes we think of faith in terms of a measure, in terms of like how much we have of something. But we have to realize that faith isn't something that has incremental values. Faith is binary. Faith is or faith isn't. Because in another place, the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, increase our faith. And he said the same thing to them. I tell you the truth. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22 to 24, just giving you a minute to turn there. It says this, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Now, that is the biggest blank check ever written. Think about that. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I love Jesus. It's so simple. It really is, isn't it? Now, I'm kind of touching on a few things here, and we're going to come back and have a look at some of the things that we've spoken about. But I just want to get a good kind of a, what's the word for it? A good spread. Set out a good spread in terms of the Bible tonight, okay? The Word of God, some scriptures here. And we're going to look at one passage now. It's in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22 to 33, I think it is. All right, it says this: immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up onto the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. But the boat was now in the middle of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the wind was contrary. Now in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It's a ghost." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." So he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. So just stop there for a second. So Jesus sent them in a boat. They're going across the sea. And there's a big storm. Again, it's a pretty rough sea, man, this storm. One time Jesus slept in it, another time he's walking on it. But they're doing what the Lord's told them to do, and yet they're in the middle of a storm. Now, that's another lesson in itself, isn't it? But Jesus came to them walking on the water, and Peter cried out and said, "Lord, if it's you, bid me to come to you." And Jesus said, "Come." So Peter stepped out of the boat and he began to walk on the water. It says that there, doesn't it? It says he walked on the water. Yeah? But in verse 30, it says this: "But when he, being Peter, saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, 'Lord, save me.' And immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, 'O you of little faith, why did you doubt?'" Now, the cool thing there is that Peter actually had enough faith to walk on water. But something went wrong, didn't it? See, sometimes we measure things in a way that heaven doesn't measure things. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing is impossible for you. Now, who thinks that maybe they have faith the size of a mustard seed here tonight? I do. Man, my faith is at least that big. Whose faith is at least that big? Seriously, come on. Be real right now. So according to Jesus Christ, the Word of God, who cannot lie, he said that you have enough faith to move a mountain. Peter had enough faith to walk on water, but Peter's faith wasn't the problem, was it? Peter's problem was that he took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at his circumstances. He looked at the wind, he looked at the waves and saw that they were boisterous. And then fear crept in. And then when fear crept in, he began to sink. It's interesting. All right. He says that in that last passage that we read, was it in Mark? I love this. In Mark 11:22, we read it just before. Jesus starts out by saying this. He says, have faith in God. Remember I said before, sometimes we say, hey, I have faith for this, but I don't know about that. When we see like that, when we speak like that, it shows us that our faith is in something. That our focus is on our faith. Do you realize that we were never supposed to focus on our faith? Jesus said, have faith in God. Faith is spelt T-R-S-U-S-T. Trust. I've heard people say faith is spelt R-I-S-K. Faith is not spelt R-I-S-K. It's spelt T-R-U-S-T. Trust. There is no risk when there's trust. We're getting to something here. We're getting to a point. Peter took his eyes off Jesus. See, faith isn't some kind of independent element. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. The NIV says it like this. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and confident of what you don't yet see. I like that translation. James says in chapter 2, verse 11, the book of James, he says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Faith without works is dead. You know, Martin Luther called the book of James a book of stubble. Anyone heard that before? Martin Luther came out of the Catholic Church with what revelation? What was the foundational revelation of the Protestant movement, the beginning? Grace. Salvation by grace, not by works. So for someone who has been bound by this whole works mentality, I've got to, you know, do these things and buy indulgences and things like that, he had this incredible revelation that we're not saved by our works, we're saved by grace, by faith in God's grace, by faith, by grace through faith. And so he comes across the book of James, and James says, hang on a minute, you're not just saved by faith. You're saved by works. That's what he begins to talk about. And he says, faith without works is dead. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't mean that your outward works produces faith or produces righteousness. It means that if you say you believe something, there'll be fruit to that accord. If you say you believe something, your life will be lived accordingly. Like Lee mentioned tonight, what you say you value is what you invest in. You can't tell your girlfriend or your spouse, I love you, honey, I love you, you're the love of my life, and then you never spend any time with them. Or you never do anything to show your love. Or you know, does that make sense? Of course it does. Faith without works is dead. That's what that means. But the cool thing is this, is that faith comes before the works. Works come as a result of faith. Now, we're going to look at something here. It's pretty important. See, the important that what we need to do is this, and this is what I'm trying to do tonight, if this kind of makes sense. I'm trying to take it slow, say a few things, pause for a minute, let it sink in, mention another scripture, talk about that for a minute, let that sink in, because we're kind of building to something. But what I don't want to do is this, is I don't want to, you know, mention a buffet before. I don't want to just say, hey, here's the buffet. Wow, look at, I'm going to mention prawns again. I had prawns today. I love seafood, but prawns are on my mind for some reason. But yeah, shrimp, if you're American. Shrimp. And anyway, it's like, man, look at these prawns. These prawns are so awesome. And, you know, and just focus just on these prawns, just on faith. Because has any of us realized that we can't make faith happen? When I first started seeing God do miracles and healings and signs and wonders through my life, I remember one day I was going to, this is within about a year, less than a year of having this encounter with the Lord, and the Lord just turned my world upside down and began to teach me what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And I was about to go and speak at YWAM on the Gold Coast here. And I was sitting on the couch at home, and the Lord spoke to me. And I didn't realize that this was going on until the Lord said this to me. But he said, Josh, you know, not one person that you've seen healed, or not one miracle, not one salvation has come because of anything that you've done or anything that you haven't done. And as soon as he said that, I just remembered that previously I've been praying for some people. And, you know, sometimes we pray and we focus on them, or we focus on the need, or we focus on the problem, or sometimes we even focus on ourselves or on our faith. He said, not one time has it been because of you, Josh. Every time it's been because of one reason. And that reason is because Jesus Christ is Lord. Full stop. Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 3. How are we going for time? 10 more minutes of this session. Jesus is still doing pretty good at the moment. Hebrews chapter 3. Extra time, cool. There you go. Thinking, man, I think I only had like 20 minutes and we seem to be doing pretty good at the moment. So what we're going to look at here is in terms of how I understand faith. And this is actually the secret of how to grow in faith, what we're about to look at right now, okay? So a lot of people come and say, oh, I want to grow in faith, or I want faith like you, or, you know, I heard you share that testimony, I want that kind of faith. I want to give you the secret to faith right now, okay? And when we read this and we talk about it, I'm going to try and do this real quick in 10 minutes. And you'll see when you go back and you look at these scriptures that we looked at tonight, you're going to see this common thread through all of this, okay? So Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4. I won't read it all just for time's sake. But we might jump into maybe verse 7. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7. Says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tested me and tried me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation and said, they always go astray in their hearts. and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Now with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed, the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place on the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For if Joshua had given them rest, they would not afterwards have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his own works, just as God did from his. Remember when Jesus hung on the cross? What was his final words? He said, "It is finished. It is finished." Hebrews there tells us that the work of God was finished from the foundation of the earth. See, Jesus came to give us access to re-enter back into the finished work of God that Adam lived from. God made everything, prepared it all, put the fruit on the trees and everything, and then created Adam and said, "Here you go, my son." Then created Eve, "Here you go, my daughter." Do you realize that everything that was created before Adam and Eve? There's a reason for that. Adam and Eve entered into the finished work of God and just walked in the garden and enjoyed being a son and a daughter where everything was laid out before them, like a buffet, prawns and all. Now, we know that we stepped out of Eden. Adam and Eve stepped out of Eden. And that is a picture, a type and a shadow of stepping out of that place of rest, that place of abundance. And Jesus came back on the scene, did what Adam couldn't do, so that once again we could enter into his rest. Everything that you need is in that place. Striving, trying. It's what we do a lot in the Pentecostal circles. I grew up in the Pentecostal church, I can say this. But sometimes we focus so much on, we've got to lay a hold of God, we've got to press in after God, we've got to... You know, there's something that I realized. I'm not holding on to God at all. He's the one that's holding on to me. The only time in the Bible that it tells us in the new covenant, this new covenant that we have with Him, the only time that it tells us to strive to do anything is to strive to enter into His rest. Because when we're in His rest, everything just happens. Righteousness, peace, joy, faith, love, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Because when you live in a place of rest, you don't have to try and make faith happen. See, we can have faith because He is faithful. If you just met someone out on the street here tonight and they said to you, I'll kind of finish with this point. I could keep going for a while, okay? We're only just getting started now. This is the point we're getting to. So I'm going to kind of finish with a final illustration, and hopefully that helps a little bit. But if you were to bump into someone out on the street tonight, and they were to come up to you and say, hey, buddy, you know, I've got this briefcase. There's a whole lot of money in it, and I've left it in this park, and I want you to have it. If you just go, it's under this bench, and you can go, thank you, Jesus, they say. Oh, man. Anyway, I was going to get really off topic just then, but I'm going to stay on topic because I got like 1 minute left. And if someone was to say that to you, who you don't know, what would you be thinking?
I'll say, yes!
Yes, he'd be saying yes. I'd be kind of like looking over my shoulder, looking for a camera or something like that. Is this some kind of a joke? Who are you? Where'd you get this? Why isn't it in a briefcase? All these questions, suspicion. Now, if let's just say Justin, Pastor Justin came and you said, Jace, mate, I've got this briefcase and it's full of money. Or someone that you know, someone that you love. Your mom, your dad, your brother, sister, spouse, whoever it is. Was to say, hey, I've got this briefcase full of money. I left it in the park for you. You might be thinking, that's a little bit random. You know, it's just my illustration. But how many of us know that we would tend to believe and act on the word of the one that we know as opposed to the one that we don't know? The one that we don't know, we would take with a grain of salt. Maybe yes, maybe no. Oh, is there some kind of a trick? Whereas the one that we know, we trust. So we're not even trying to make anything happen. We just act on that because we know them. And because we know them, we trust them. You see, the clearer we see Him, the clearer we live in Him, the more we know Him, everything else will come as a byproduct. Revelation and faith are a byproduct of knowing Him. A byproduct of knowing Him. What is a byproduct? A product that comes through the making or the doing of something else. It comes as a result of. Whoops, I'm knocking this thing. Moving around a little bit tonight. Now, I'm just going to finish one last verse. One last verse. This is in Ephesians, okay? Ephesians chapter 3. And I'm just going to turn there real quick. And I'm just going to spray this out at you guys and we'll have a break. Ephesians chapter 3. And I'll just start in verse 14. I'll just read the whole lot. Why not? For this reason... I'd love to go back and look at why he's saying for this reason, but we don't have time, sorry. For this reason, I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, through his Spirit, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height. Listen, this is the clincher here. To know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Why? So that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now the clincher is this. He says that you would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. That word there, to know in the Greek, is the word epignosis. And that word knowledge there in the Greek is the word gnosis. Gnosis is like you can equate it to head knowledge, what you know, information. But epignosis is different. Epignosis means that you would know by experience. That you would know by experience, that you would know the love of God, not know, but you would know the love of God by experience. Because in that place of knowing his love, we are filled with all the fullness of God, and it surpasses knowledge. When you live in that place and you step out of the boat, you're not even looking at the wind and the waves because you're living from a different reality. You're living from a different mindset. You're living from heaven's perspective. So when someone comes to you and they're sick or they need help or there's a problem in life, we've got to get out of this place where we're living from the problem to God. See, the revelation of Jesus Christ that was given to John, the call of heaven, I'm spitting everywhere now, I'm getting excited. I wasn't going to preach until the second session, we're probably into it already, so. But listen, the call of heaven to John was, come up here. Read it. The angel said, John, come up here. The call to heaven is to come up and live from a place where we're seated with him. And we live from that place, not living from fear or from problems, trying to have faith, trying to find God, but we've actually entered into his finished work, and now we're actually seated. Think about that. Why is he seated, guys? Because he's finished. He's resting. Faith looks like something. I'll finish on this. Faith looks like rest. Faith looks like Jesus. Jesus sleeping in the boat in the midst of the storm. Let's have a break.